Today's show is brought to you by MyPillow, where there is currently a buy one, get one free sale going on. So go to MyPillow.com, use promo code NOQ, or just call 800-862-0382. That's promo code NOQ, 1-800-862-0382, or MyPillow.com.
Are feeling like strangers in a strange land. Sadly, it's becoming more challenging every day to recognize our own country. Listening to the Midnight Sentinel will help us make sense of the craziness we're seeing and hearing about all around us. We need patriots and Christians who are willing to stand up for the values that made our nation great. Are you ready to be a sentinel? Here's J.D. Rucker.
Yesterday's episode, I talked about the pandemic treaty, and in many ways, I kind of jumped the gun. I went straight to what I consider to be the most concerning aspect of the pandemic treaty, and that's just part of my nature. I don't like to lead and, you know, work my way up to the big bombshells and keep people's attention. Look, if something's dangerous, I'm going to talk about that first. And to me, the real danger with the pandemic treaty is not just what they want to do with healthcare. It's the fact that separately to the treaty, they are also attempting to conflate, to equate healthcare with climate change. They want climate change to be the blanket. And if you combine those two efforts, those two goals of making climate change a component of healthcare, and thereby making literally everything in the world a component of healthcare, and then you simultaneously give the World Health Organization supremacy over the nations in order to basically let them decide what's happening, what's going on, right? If you get on those two roads simultaneously, which is what they're attempting to do, what you're setting us up for, is a world government. You know, a world government that doesn't just say, oh, it's pandemic time, let's go ahead and go to the World WHO, the World Health Organization. No. It's more along the lines of, okay, so this day-to-day effort is something that does have an impact on climate change, according to the World Health Organization. So we must defer to the World Health Organization and their guidance on what we should do. So that's the big news, or the big fear that I've had based upon everything that's been going on. You know, when we broke this story way back in February, you know, nobody was talking about the pandemic treaty back in February, and really not very much in March even. I was very surprised because I had Dr. Peter Bregan on my show. We talked in depth about this pandemic treaty and really, like I said, broke the news. And I was expecting a lot of people to hop on that, especially in alternative media. I thought that a lot of people would be looking into it. And I think a lot of people did. But I think the conclusion that, at least at the time, was, oh, this is so crazy, this couldn't be real. Basically, a lot of news outlets that are now covering it today passed on it back then because they thought, well, this, we'll see. This is so far-fetched. I can't believe this could actually possibly happen, right? But then here we are. It is happening, and we have to address that. That's our duty. But I got two basic responses from yesterday's show. The first one was, you know, basically a question of what exactly is this, you know. Even despite the best efforts of a lot of us to get the information out there, there are still plenty of people who are completely unaware of what the pandemic treaty is. And then the second biggest, I would say this might even be tied as the other first biggest response I had, was, oh, there's nothing to worry about here. It's non-binding. There's nothing, you know, they can't really do anything with it. I've been told by attorneys, and everybody apparently has been talking to attorneys about this. I thought that was kind of odd. But I've been talking to attorneys, and they've been saying that this can't hold us accountable. Okay, so I want to be very clear about something. And this is something that, you know, sometimes I take for granted that the lessons that we've learned over the past 2.5 years, that those lessons have stuck. We have learned lessons when it comes to such things such as binding or non-binding. We have learned what we can expect from government. And if there's one thing that we should have totally remember going forward, if you in case you forgot, is that most of the things, most of the tyranny that is being imposed upon us, this medical tyranny that is being imposed upon us, is being done willingly by us and businesses. Most of the mandates, most of the fines, most of pretty much everything out there, these are not binding. Okay, people talk, I remember I've heard so many times during the face mask fiasco, you know, oh, it's against the law for you to enter here without a face mask. I'm like, no, it's not. There's no law that says that I can't enter without a face mask. That's absolutely wrong. What you're talking about, these executive orders, these orders that come from the executive branch through health agencies, through whatever, these are not, I mean, are they binding to some extent? Sure. But they're not laws. There's a misunderstanding there. And, you know, could you say, well, the fines will stick? Sure, but you can fight those. It's not like, you know, going out and committing actual crimes. What you're doing is you're going against guidance. You're going against the expectations of organizations like the CDC, the FDA, the state and local health officials, and, of course, the World Health Organization. And therein lies the key to why this is so important. Because right now, when you look at guidance, all the guidance that you look at, when you look at these executive orders and even some of the laws that have been passed regarding the pandemic, current and or future or even past, when you look at the verbiage, invariably they say, they refer to the CDC or the FDA. As far as, you know, based upon, we do this, based upon the guidance of the CDC and the FDA. If you, you know, this is enforceable through the guidance of the CDC and or the FDA. This, what they're saying basically is this, that, you know, we're making these rules. These are the rules, and these rules can be changed based upon the rules that are sent down to us through these government bodies, these government health officials. And therein, you have that's how they're able to get, you know, I'm stuttering through this because I want to make sure that I'm crystal clear from a legal perspective. By themselves, they don't have legal authority, but they are granted legal authority as a result of whether it's city councils, state legislatures, the Capitol Hill. They use the guidance as the backbone for the laws that they pass. And like I said, invariably, it has always been, you know, the CDC or the FDA that has been issuing the guidance. What the pandemic treaty does is it essentially coerces governments, including our own people at Capitol Hill, to defer to the World Health Organization when it comes to guidance that will be applied to those laws mandates that they create. This is an important thing to understand, folks, because when we say, oh, it, you know, it's a treaty, but it's not binding because of this, it's because of that, folks, this will have more teeth than the CDC or the FDA currently have here in the United States. We will be granting the World Health Organization more access and more control over the guidance that we as a nation, that our government issues upon us. In other words, they can take what the World Health Organization won't be able to come to your door and say, you must wear five masks because we have deemed this area to be heavily contagious for pandemic X. Okay, that won't happen. But what they can do is, and what they will do once this is signed, they will be able to say, hey, we believe that in these areas of the United States, the pandemic X is so bad that people need to be wearing five masks. And this is where either the governments in those cities or states, or even the federal government, the legislature comes through and they says, based upon World Health Organization guidance, we are issuing that, we are making this law, or the executive branches will issue their executive orders based upon the guidance of the World Health Organization. This essentially, when we say that this removes our sovereignty, what we're saying is that we expect the government, our government, to willingly cooperate and thereby follow the guidance of the World Health Organization once this treaty is signed. And it's very important that we understand that for this to be a treaty, obviously it has to be ratified by Congress. I don't think that's going to be possible, but that's, they're not positioning this as a true legitimate treaty, because you don't sign treaties between a sovereign nation and a government worldwide government body. That's not how these things work. You know, we don't sign treaties with the United Nations, for example, the World Economic Forum. What we do is we issue agreements. Treaties are between nations. And you might say, well, that's kind of what they're trying to do. Yes, but no. Trust me, they're not going to be able to go through all the paperwork to get an official treaty signed between 194 nations. That's not going to happen. What can and will happen is that this treaty, as they're calling it, will be signed and will allow them to be able to guide governments and to be able to even pressure governments to abide by their guidance. I know I'm feel like I'm doing a horrible job of explaining why this is important, but we have to. And again, I go back to the idea that if we've learned anything over the past 2.5-3 years, it's that government is willing to, our government and worldwide governments, are willing to subvert us, suppress the truth, and sidestep reality if necessary in order to achieve their goals. One of those goals, of course, is to perpetuate pandemic panic theater, or even to expand upon it with new variants, new surges, or even brand new diseases altogether. Once you throw in climate change, and that is happening, folks, that is in process, once you throw in climate change, all of a sudden, it becomes guidance that can be converted into law, willingly, allegedly, by our representatives here in the United States, whether the city, state, or national level. And this guidance will be determined by the World Health Organization, again, pertaining to food, pertaining to travel, pertaining to communication, pertaining to the military, pertaining to how businesses operate, how buildings are warmed or cooled, how everything happens in our lives. And if you don't think that governments would, that our governments would be willing to listen to this guidance, then you haven't been paying attention, because, again, all they're doing is basically replacing the CDC and the FDA with the World Health Organization. And the World Health Organization will be coordinating, that's what they're going to call it. But in essence, they're going to be installing their perspectives upon governments across the world. Will it be binding as a binding like a treaty? No, not necessarily. Okay, but that doesn't mean that people won't follow the guidance. And I would say with a near certainty that many of them will, if not most, if not all. And by people, I'm talking about people in government. We cannot just fall back on, oh, don't worry, that's not binding. Okay, face mask mandates weren't binding, and yet we did it. We did it out of fear. We did it out of disinformation. We did it out of propaganda, gaslighting, and false rhetoric. And we're going to take that with this pandemic treaty and multiply it tenfold. How? Because once they do have this supremacy, once they do have this control over the guidance, over the way that the world is supposed to handle various disasters, that's when, guess what? The disasters are going to start. That's when this pandemic panic theater and every type of panic theater is going to ramp up once again. This is why, I don't look at this from a legal perspective, because we've already learned that the legal perspective makes no sense. All you have to do is look at the military, okay? Legally speaking, nobody in the military should be forced to take the vaccines. Why? Because the orders sent down by Austin last year specifically required that the vaccines that the military personnel were supposed to take had to be FDA approved. As of now, none of them have taken a jab that was FDA approved. Why? Because they can't. Because the FDA approved jabs are not available to them. What is available to them? The original emergency use authorization jabs. This is, folks, just prima facie, this is out there, outrageous, illegal, and quite frankly, ludicrous that nobody's talking about this. But this is how it works now. Maybe it's always worked like that, and we just never noticed because things weren't so bad. I would say that's probably the case. So no, don't tell me, I talked to my lawyer, and he's a constitutional scholar, and he said that if they can't get the two-thirds vote, and if there's no sovereign body that they're going to be operating through, and that they won't be able to, they're not going to have control. Folks, we have had our lives run for the last 2.5 years by Anthony Fauci, unelected bureaucrat, Rochelle Walensky, unelected bureaucrat, Birx, what's his name? Francis, you know, the dude that just retired. Francis, oh, now this is going to bug me. Oh, it's going to bug me. I'm going to, I'll have to come back to it. You guys know what I'm talking about. Oh, you know the thing. See, I'm having a Joe Biden moment. Goodness. That's, now this is really bugging me. I could look it up, of course. I'm in front of my computer. I could just look it up and know exactly who I'm talking about. I could see his face and the mustache and all that stuff. And I'm, wow, that's embarrassing. Oh, well, we'll get back to Francis another time because Francis, dang it, I almost had it. Oh, well. Anyway, these unelected bureaucrats and these agencies have run our lives, okay? Read the laws that were passed. There weren't very many, but there were laws that were passed regarding the pandemic. All of them refer to the guidance of the FDA or the CDC or both. Look at the executive orders. All of them refer to the guidance of the FDA, the CDC, the state health boards, city health officials. It was the guidance that was codified. And with this pandemic treaty, that guidance will no longer be coming from your local health person. It's not going to be coming from the state health boards or the FDA or the CDC. It's going to be coming from the World Health Organization, which is controlled by the World Economic Forum. And because there will be future disasters, future emergency events, new pandemic, new climate change, this, that, or the other, new whatever, they will, once it's signed, they will be able to use this to control us. And many of us will not be controlled. And yet we will say, you know, as the police are knocking on our door, we'll be able to say, no, but my lawyer said that the pandemic treaty was non-binding. You guys are so in trouble. I am going to have your badge. You know, and then months later, cop and a plea deal. You'll be like, man, I need a new lawyer. Folks, this is, If you believe anything that I ever say, believe this. There are those that are going to downplay this. There are those who are already trying to downplay this as a nothing burger. It is not. This is serious stuff. And I know there's also a lot of people that are going to try to who are already trying to play this up to be more than this. Well, this is totally binding. As a matter of fact, you know. Eventually, Barack Obama is going to be the king of the universe, the king of the world, and he's going to be installed. I've seen some crazy ideas. Let's just stick with the truth, folks. This is dangerous. This will affect us greatly, affect our day-to-day lives. Within the next 2 to 3 years, by the way, we're not talking about, oh, decades down the line. This will affect us very soon. And we have to continue to spread the truth because there's disinformation on both sides about the pandemic treaty. We need to find that reality, cut through all the BS, and make sure that we disseminate only the truth. After the break, I have some really just more terrible news in general about things happening in the world, so stay tuned.
Our listeners do not want to be beholden to government. With food shortages impacting both prices and availability of food, it's time to take control of your family's long-term future. Go to noqreport.com/MPS and start stocking up immediately. Don't get stuck in breadlines when food becomes scarce. That's noqreport.com/MPS. As the economy and dollar show signs of falling or even collapsing very soon, now is the time to invest your portfolio or retirement in physical precious metals. This show strongly recommends OurGoldGuide.com for your gold and silver needs. Unlike the big players with big ad budgets, Our Gold Guide, IRA, is focused on you. That's OurGoldGuide.com.
Usually, I like to talk about straight-up prepper stuff during this particular segment, but I'm going slightly off-prepper and more towards, you know, I shouldn't say off-prepper. This is prepping-related, but we're not talking about buying food or water or ammunition or medicine or bug-out bags or anything like that. Well, I guess bug-out bags might apply here. This is a story that came through via Natural News, author Ethan Huff, one of my favorites. It was titled Dirty Bomb Drills Being Run in Austin, Texas Ahead of Known Radiological Terror Cells Entering the United States. Okay, well, sure, that seems pretty darn bad. You know, it's funny because it, well, I shouldn't say it's funny. There's nothing funny about it, but it is peculiar that we've been talking a lot in recent weeks about false flags, and this one certainly seems like a precursor to either a potential false flag or what they believe to be a legitimate possible terror attack. Now, the reason this has to do with prepping is because for a long time I've been saying this, and I want to use this as a further reiteration. I don't like to be a fearmonger, but when there is something to fear, I want to be out there making sure that people are aware. And this is something that I think people should be very, very, very much aware of. Okay, because if you are living in a major city, there is reason to believe that you should, if you have the means, you should consider leaving. Okay? If you're in the suburbs, you know, make sure that you're try to stay as far away from the epicenters of where all the bad things that could happen will happen. Because at this stage in human history, I don't think it's a stretch to say we are likely, within our lifetimes, and perhaps within the very near future, going to see major attacks, not dissimilar from what we saw on September 11th of 2001. But these types of attacks are not necessarily just going to be targeted on, for example, in that scenario, a building. I do believe that they are planning the types of attacks, whether it's biological, chemical, radiological, as in this case, the types of attacks that can affect entire city populations. And keep in mind, when I say I'm not a fearmonger, I've been fighting against, I've always lived in the city, okay? I mean, my whole life, I shouldn't say my whole life. When I was born, I wasn't living in a major city. But as a child, we moved to Long Island, New York. Long Island is not a city per se, but it is a metro area very close to, of course, Manhattan. And even though you can consider it a suburb, it was a very tight suburb, and it was, in my opinion, the type of area that could be targeted for these types of attacks. From there, we went to Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City isn't exactly the most populated area, but by golly, it is still a city, and it is still, you know, still can fall victim to these types of events. Of course, now I'm living in Southern California, and there's enough people within there are more people within 10 square miles of me than there are in the entire state of Montana. Okay, we live in populated areas. A lot of us do. A lot of you do. And I would strongly suggest, recommend, encourage, beg almost, that if you have the means, then you should consider leaving. Okay, for multiple reasons. It's not just the threats of terrorist attacks. Okay, there are many reasons to believe that this, it would be basically pretty bad to be in the city. If we do believe, as I do, that there will be a major economic downturn, that could be a full-blown recession, that could even turn into a full-blown economic collapse, which could also turn into a complete societal collapse. We're talking about a near future in which there are roving gangs of people out there trying to take what you have. We're talking about a scenario where there could be, you know, martial law. There could be just absolute chaos and anarchy. We don't know. And by no means am I suggesting that, oh, if you move out of the city and go into the country, that you're going to be totally safe there. No, by no means am I suggesting that. As a matter of fact, there are certain dangers of being more isolated, of being in lighter populated areas. There are certain advantages to having community nearby, of having assistance nearby, just as there will be more threats in highly populated areas, there will also be more potential for assistance from others, from people around you. So it is, when I say I'm encouraging everybody, I'm not. If you're a city person and you have your system is already set up for the city, for the suburbs, for a heavily populated area, so be it. Right now, we are actually, you know, as I'm sitting here, I don't want to sound like a hypocrite. I want to be clear. You know, we have a certain necessity based upon our current family situation that requires us to remain here. Gosh, I mean, I was literally looking at real estate in Montana, to mention Montana for the second time in the same show. I was literally looking at real estate in Montana yesterday. I would love to. I would love to get out of this heavily populated area in Southern California. I'd love to leave California in general. but because of our situation, our very specific and odd situation, by the way. It is essentially a requirement. We would have to sacrifice a great deal within our family to be able to leave. And I don't think that's out of the question, but as of today, we haven't made that move. Again, I don't want to make it sound as if this is for everybody. Everybody's got to go to the hills, okay? Everybody just pack up, you know, go buy a homestead in Idaho and live off the grid and get your, you know. No, I'm not saying that's for everybody. But I would suggest that you do one of two things. Either be ready to move or go ahead and move, you know, one of those, that, or be ready if you are going to stay where you are and you are in a heavily populated area, then take the precautions necessary to be ready for whatever it is that may come. And I'm not just talking about guns and ammo, though that is definitely the first step. I'm talking about being ready for a scenario such as this that's detailed in this article. Let me get to the article. So again, the headline is Dirty Bomb Drills Being Run in Austin, Texas Ahead of Known Radiological Terror Cells Entering the U.S. From May 16th through May 20th, the Department of Energy's National Nuclear Security Administration is holding a drill in Austin, Texas that involves the use of low-flying aircraft and a simulated radiological attack called Cobalt Magnet 22. The exercise, what a name, Cobalt Magnet 22, jeez. The exercise is supposedly taking place to prepare local, state, and federal agencies for the possibility of a future radiological attack. Since these drills tend to go live, however, many want to know, is this another false flag attack in the making? At various locations around the city, an announcement from the NNSA reads, the exercise will simulate a radiological attack, enabling response personnel to practice protecting public health and safety, providing emergency relief to affected populations, and restoring essential services. During the exercise, personnel donned in PPE, personal protective equipment, will reportedly be seen moseying around Austin. I wonder if they'll be wearing cowboy hats. With equipment as they pretend to monitor and detect radiation, presumably from a nuclear attack. First responders and others, the announcement adds ominously, will also be staged at various locations throughout the Texas Capitol as part of the drill. And this is a quote from Jay Tilden, the DOE's Deputy Undersecretary for Counterterrorism and Counterproliferation. He says, the men and women of the Nuclear Emergency Support Team, or NEST, are trained to provide decision makers with timely, actionable, scientific advice during fearful events. Saving lives and reducing the impact of a nuclear incident requires a full understanding of what happened, who will be affected, and what the optimal response should be. NEST's bread and butter is providing the information to local, state, and federal leaders as rapidly as possible. Let me stop right there. We live in a nation. We are part of a society that does tend to telegraph their moves. Okay? I mean, there were, you know, I'm not going to go down the whole road of 9/11 was an inside job, but I want to say that it is conspicuous how much preparation was done ahead of the terrorist attack. Now, many, if not most, believe it was just coincidental that they were plotting, you know, running drills on how to handle a terrorist attack that was exactly like the one that actually happened. You know, it's conspicuous that, of course, many are aware that they were running such a drill on the day of 9/11, September 11th, 2001. And that the fact that they were running this drill actually caused confusion, or at least that's what they say, caused confusion. You know, is this part of the drill? Is this not? Is this real? Is this actually happening? There was a lot of back and forth there. Now, again, I'm not going down the whole 9/11 was an inside job conspiracy theory. That's for you guys to decide. I don't touch that one, not because I don't think it may or may not be true, okay, especially when you talk about Building 7, but because it is it's a delineate. I don't want to take away from what we're facing today. Do I want to know the truth about 9/11? Absolutely. But there are pressing issues that we're faced with right now, right here, that we need to address. So when I say that, we do tend to see our leaders, our government, to telegraphing their moves, or at least being prescient in some way. Or if you want to go down the road of, oh, it's just coincidental, so be it. But either way, no matter what your position is on how these things play out, the fact that they're holding this drill is ominous. It is ominous because these things tend to be preludes to the real events. If they weren't holding this drill, I would be telling you today, by the way, I would be telling you today that we should be concerned because, as the headline details, you know, that we have known terror cells that are entering the United States. This is happening. Even the Biden regime is acknowledging this. There are people that may be suspected terrorists or future terrorists that they don't have any idea where they are. They know they've entered the United States. They lost track as part of this whole open borders policy that the Biden regime is engaged in. We do know that there are forces in and outside of the United States that have a desire to engage in another terrorist attack, preferably in their eyes, something that was much worse than 9/11. And there's this certainly fits the bill. We're talking about radiological attacks. You know, he's dancing around what this is. Is this dirty bomb? Could be. Is it straight up, you know, tactical nuclear? Briefcase nuclear devices? Certainly. Certainly could be. There are so many ways that this could go badly. It could be even radiological leaks. That's something that very few people talk about because it does require a very coordinated plan. Okay, there's the hard part about just leaking radiation into any particular area is that in doing so, the people that are involved are not going to have a long shelf life. Okay, so it's challenging to find that. And plus, a dirty bomb is actually more effective than just direct leak. But with that, effective from their perspective, not from our perspective, of course. But with that said, dirty bombs aren't exactly the easiest things to use, to build. Okay, it's not. I think a lot of times people think that a dirty bomb, oh, you just gotta throw a grenade at a nuclear reactor and all of a sudden you got a dirty bomb. That's not how it works. Okay, and I'm not going to go into, I will never go into how it works because I don't want to give any idiots an idea. But with that said, this is something that should be concerning. Back to the article. Mayor Adler and other officials, they say this is only an exercise. Don't worry, folks, this is only a drill. In order to quell fears of area residents who are concerned about this latest government exercise mysteriously going live, Austin Mayor Stephen Adler, a raging leftist, by the way, posted on Twitter that, quote, during a planning exercise next week, Austinites may see teams in protective clothing using radiological equipment, low-flying aircraft gathering data, and groups of first responders and others staged at various locations. This is only an exercise. Along with the message, Adler shared a link to an article from The Hill explaining the exercise in further detail. Austin Emergency Management tweeted a similar message 3 days later, emphasizing that the event is just an exercise and not to worry or panic. Neither the NNSA nor any other local agencies in Austin have clarified why the simulation is happening there or whether or not Austin is under any kind of radiological or other threat that would render it a potential target. Cobalt Magnet 22 is reminiscent of the Jade Helm 15 exercise from 2015 that also took place in this same area of Texas and under similarly strange circumstances. As you may recall, the Health Ranger, Mike Adams, by the way, in case you were curious, visited one of the sites involved in that exercise, which includes guard towers, similar to the ones used in fascist regimes to monitor prisoners being held captive behind barbed wire fencing. Jade Helm 15 simulated the infiltration of soldiers operating undetected amongst civilian populations, the purpose being to see if they could infiltrate and blend in with the general population without being noticed. In other words, and they don't say this explicitly here, but let me go ahead and say it. That means that, you know, if they're practicing to be able to do that, that means they're doing that. Right now, today, there are agents, or whatever you want to call them, amongst us. That's just what they do, folks. This is why they do these types of things. They test. Will this work? Okay. Well, we know it'll work. Okay. Well, what are you going to do with that information? Well, nothing. No. Forget it even existed. We would never do anything like that. Mm-hmm. Concerning this latest exercise in Austin, Aiden Salazar, writing for InfoWars and NewsWars, had this to say. The exercise comes as NATO and its allies have continued to prop up Ukraine in its war against Russia, provoking the former Soviet nation, which has full nuclear capabilities. Agencies did not say the drills were in response to any type of threat from Russia. Folks, Finland and Sweden are joining NATO. That has been a red line in Russia's book for a long, long time. Now, it's not as bad to them as Ukraine if Ukraine had joined NATO. Okay, that's why we're at war. Or that not we're at war. Oh, I don't want to sound like a Democrat. That's why they're at war. If Ukraine had promised to never join NATO and NATO said we'd never let Ukraine in, right now Russia would not be in Ukraine. I can guarantee you that. But here we are. So now with them escalating, plus there was escalation recently where they even went so far as to start having these massive drills, military drills right on the Russian border. Oh, goodness. Yes. That tells us that they are pushing, they being NATO, are pushing for conflict, if not war, if not full-blown World War III, with Russia. And now they're holding these drills for radiological attacks here in the United States. What does that tell us? I mean, it tells us that they do expect something like this to happen. Maybe they're even planning for it. I'm not going to go down false flag, but I wouldn't say no, that's not possible. Any of this is possible. It's time to get prepared, folks. Like I said, this isn't your standard prepper segment. It's just further reason for me to continue to encourage people. If you are in the city, consider getting out. If you are in the suburbs, consider getting further away. And if you're already far enough away that you feel comfortable, great. Awesome. That's legitimately, truly awesome. But if you're not, figure out what you can do. And if you can't, figure out how to solidify your position. Buckle in. Be ready. Don't assume that this is just all going to go away. We'll be right back.
Every conservative show has a MyPillow code, and rightfully so. Mike Lindell is a true America First patriot who continues to fight the good fight. When you use promo code NOQ at MyPillow.com, you're not just helping Mike, you're helping another America First organization, this show. Please use promo code NOQ at MyPillow.com. If you've taken the COVID jabs, or if you could have been exposed to vaccine shedding, Dr. Zev Zelenko has put together a detox solution for you. Shedding is becoming increasingly likely as more people get boosted. So go to zstacklife.com/freedom and make your immune system clean, resilient, and resistant. That's zstacklife.com/freedom.
There's a line in my wife's favorite movie of all time, Dirty Dancing, a movie that I actually personally don't like, but I have seen it, so I can relate at least to one character in there, Jerry Orbach's character, the late and great Jerry Orbach, who played the father of Baby, played by Jennifer Grey. She was the main character, and Orbach goes up to her love interest, Johnny Castle, played by Patrick Swayze. And he says something to the effect of, you know, I know you aren't the one that got Penny in trouble. And the line that got to me was, it stuck with me for all these years, all these decades, was, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. And it's funny how things can, you know, you look back at your life and you think of things that actually affected you. And that one, I can honestly say, really did. Because I have been that person who... I don't just sit back and ignore my flaws or pretend like when I make a mistake that I didn't actually make a mistake or try to justify it or anything like that. I want to be the guy that, you know, if I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. And that's why I'm bringing this up, because I was wrong very recently. I was very much wrong. And I want to explain why I was wrong and hopefully ask for forgiveness for those of you who read my work or listen to the shows or whatever. So basically, I wrote an article the other day that was calling for unity after the Pennsylvania election. There's been so much contention, so much adversity between, you know, there's just been absolute fights between fellow conservatives. I was involved in a few of them, actually, unfortunately. One very ugly one with Rick Grenell that even prompted a show that I did explaining why he was wrong. And it was basically, this was the U.S. Senate primary for the Republican Party in Pennsylvania. And I was backing Kathy Barnett. Okay, she's a good candidate, not a great candidate, but a good one. But at least she's not a globalist. And the other two front runners at the time, David McCormick and Dr. Mehmet Oz, are globalists. Okay, I mean, there's no way to get around that. They just are. A lot of people don't realize that McCormick was, you know, when he was CEO of Blackwater, just last year, he cut a deal and made arrangements to be part of the World Economic Forum's whatever, something on, you know, Forum on Racial Justice or something like that. And of course, Dr. Mehmet Oz is he has so many attachments to interests outside of the United States, including the World Economic Forum, including Turkey, including, well, everywhere other than the United States, that he's clearly not an America First patriot. Despite the fact that Donald Trump endorsed him, despite the fact that Sean Hannity and Rick Grenell and Greg Kelly and a lot of these other conservatives were supporting him, I opposed him, and a lot of people did. You know, Kathy Barnett came out of nowhere. Okay, she was literally, I think she was in like single digits just like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And then she started surging to the point that they went absolutely nuclear on her. Okay, and I didn't like it. And this is why I reached out to many people. I reached out to Jack Posobiec, talked to Todd Starnes, talked to Greg Kelly, trying to figure out, you know, could there be reconciliation? Could we find unity after the fact? And I came to the conclusion, reluctantly, I came to the conclusion that we could. That we could actually have unity and go after, you know, for the sake of going after the Democrats. And I want to be clear. One of the reasons, and I would say the primary reason that I wrote the article in the first place and got these, you know, insights from popular conservatives was because I wanted an opportunity to reach Dr. Oz supporters and to tell them the truth. The article itself was a strategic move. It's like, okay, let's talk about unity, but what we're going to do is we're going to sneak in a few notes about Dr. Oz and paint him as a globalist and point out his pro Roe v. Wade beliefs and his gun control beliefs and his push for transgenderism amongst children. And my good friend Todd Starnes did that. He helped me with that. He had a great comment in the article. I mentioned it a couple of times. I thought, okay, so, because, and here's the thing, here's the how the strategy works. If you write an anti-Oz piece, then supporters of Dr. Oz are not going to read it. Just as if you write a pro-Kathy Barnett piece, supporters of Dr. Oz are not going to read it. But if you write a piece about unity and about what happens after the primary, then Dr. Oz supporters will read it. And they did. You know, they reached out a lot. And I think that the article actually had at least a minor impact. It was relatively popular. It had I think 20 or 30,000 views. And I did have some people reach out and say, I did not know that about Dr. Oz. You know, I was supporting him, now I'm not. So yeah, it had the desired impact, but I felt horrible, absolutely horrible. And I have for the last 2 days, ever since writing the article. That's not my style. I don't strategize. I don't, you know, all right, let's figure out how to get this in front of the people, the target audience, and let's do some testing. And no, that's not my style. I like to just shoot straight. I just like to tell it how it is. And so by convincing myself, deceiving myself into thinking that we could have unity after the primary, unity between conservatives so that we can fight the Democrats in November, I was wrong. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I was wrong. I know that there can be unity. I know that a lot of people will reconcile. I can't. That's not how I'm built. People like Sean Hannity, Rick Grenell, I can't go back. Okay, it was just too hard. I mean, they went absolutely nuclear. They were telling lies about Kathy Barnett. And so, no, I was wrong. And I'll admit it. When I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong. And I was wrong. Here's the part that I was most wrong about. And I'm going to read this to you. And I'm very ashamed that I wrote this, you know, but I won't take it down just because that's not my style either. I might put an addendum. Hey, if you read this, be sure to read this next, because I was in the wrong on this particular piece. But so from that article, populist pundit Jack Posobiec from Human Events believes we will be able to reconcile after the primary's done. He told me the focus needs to be on the midterm elections, and this is a quote from him. Every primary is a hard-fought contest. I hope that in the midst of this of this, conservatives and America First populists will remember we are all on the same side, and to treat everyone fairly and truthfully. We all have a long road ahead to November. And then I wrote, that is hopefully the sentiment we will all fall back on after the primaries, or after the primary, referring to the Pennsylvania primary on Tuesday. As Democrats have proven over the past 16 months, they are an existential threat. As much as I oppose rhino globalist Dr. Oz, I would still rather see him in the Senate than any Democrat. That didn't used to be the case. A rhino was once as bad as a Democrat in my book. But today, I'm not like most. I may not like most of what Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski, or Susan Collins do with their Senate seats, but at least all of them voted against the radical abortion bill last week. With the Senate as tight as it is, all it would have taken is one of them to have allowed abortion, up until birth, to be codified. And now that's true, but here's the thing. In reality, again, yeah, trying to reconcile, trying to convince myself that I can do this, that I could, you know, make amends with whoever, Grinnell or Hannity or whoever, after the primary, I was trying to be strategic, I was trying to get the message out about Dr. Oz, I was trying this, I was trying that, and I failed. You know, I didn't fail at achieving that particular goal, I failed in having that goal in the first place. Like I said, that's not my style. I think it's deceptive. I think that if you don't, there's nothing that would ever get me to support Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, Dr. Oz, or David McCormick. Nothing. I mean, unless they changed. I mean, I guess that could. But I don't see that. They're neocons. They're globalists. They're rhinos. They're milquetoast, lukewarm centrists. And they are, in many ways, a worse problem for the United States of America than even Democrats, than even radical leftists. Because at least with the leftists, you know what you're getting. At least if we're fighting against those people being Democrats, we know that we can take our ideology versus theirs. And there's a clear distinction. It's crystal clear. And so we can say, this is what we believe, this is what they believe, and we're right. When you're dealing with the centrists, the people in the murky middle, the Republican establishment, the rhinos, the neocons, whatever you want to call them, and I know that that's separate things, that you can be a rhino without being a neocon and vice versa, but you know, when you are dealing with those people, your challenge is that you have to, sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong, and so you have to wonder, okay, what is it going to be today? And this is what the American people wonder. We have to remember, if you're listening to this, chances are you are among the, top 10, 5, maybe 2% of the nation as far as political awareness. Vast majority of Americans don't listen to shows about this kind of stuff. They don't pay this much attention. Not as much as I pay, not as much as you pay. And those are the people that will, they don't see a difference between Mitt Romney and Ted Cruz. They don't see a difference between Lisa Murkowski and Rand Paul. Okay, they're both Republicans, so they must be the same. The vast majority of Americans think along those lines. They really do. And so when I say that there are very clear arguments that can be made that rhinos are actually worse than Democrats in many ways, that's why. It's because they prevent us from being able to spread the proper message, from being able to enact the proper policies. This, you know, the whole notion that bipartisanship can work in today's world is false. It cannot work. This is a matter of we're right, they're wrong, and they think that they're right and we're wrong. And so this division that people keep saying, oh, they're so divided, we need to unify. We can't. Any more than we as America First patriots can unify with rhinos. We can't. There has to be this separation. Because when you start intermingling, when you start getting that murky middle, whether it's between centrists and conservatives or between Republicans and Democrats, once you start getting into that swamp area, that's where we have the biggest problems. It's not Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is less of a threat to the United States of America right now than somebody like a centrist like Joe Biden or a centrist like Mitt Romney. At least with AOC, we can fight in a way that is pure ideology versus their pure ideology. that allows us a stage through which we can say, look, this is why we're right. This is why this works. When you start getting into that murky middle, that's where you get George W. Bush. That's where you get John McCain. That's where you get nominations for Mitt Romney. Give me a break. Okay? I know a lot of people were like, oh, we have to vote for Romney because we got to get rid of Obama. I didn't disagree with getting rid of Obama, but I was adamantly opposed to voting for Mitt Romney. I really was. Of course, I didn't vote for Obama, but I was not going to support a guy that I thought, that I knew, was not going to be so much better. I mean, he would have been incrementally better, lest we forget. You know, the Republican Party was dumb enough to nominate the architect of Romney Care, which was the predicate for Obamacare. That's stupid, okay? If you want to, the best way to differentiate between what we want and what they want is to put forth a bold and differentiated candidate. You don't want to put somebody out there who literally defangs the best argument against Obama. The reason that Obama had two terms isn't because he was such a great Democrat president. It's because we put up Mitt Romney to take him on. The Republican Party picked the one candidate who couldn't beat him because we defanged ourselves by taking away attacks against Obamacare. Why? Because we put up the architect of Romney Care. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I mean, I've seen some dumb things in my life, but that was dumb. And this is why, folks, this is why I'm doing this show here right now. This is why I'm apologizing. I'm begging you humbly for your forgiveness, because I did have a moment of strategic weakness where I thought, hey, you know, we got to figure out how to get Dr. Oz people to be aware of who he is. So I'm going to write this milquetoast article that goes against my belief system. And I convinced myself that it was okay. I convinced myself that, you know what, maybe we can reconcile. Maybe it really is. You know, the Democrats really are bad. They're bad, bad. Maybe it's better to get a rhino in office. And again, that weakness, that moment of non-clarity that I had, it was temporary, it was strategic, and I completely regret it. I do. It's not just because Kathy Burnett lost. I would have regretted it had she won. Because that's not who I am. And hopefully that's not who you are. Folks, I often say that you all are the smartest audience in the world. I can say this with a near certainty because the comments that I get, I've seen the type of audiences that other shows, even conservative shows, have. And they're not you guys, okay? I mean, you guys really, I'm not trying to blow smoke. I'm just saying, you know, here I am apologizing and I'm also blowing smoke at the same time. I'm being sincere when I say that because I am so proud to have you guys. And the reason I'm saying that, the reason I'm telling you that now, as we prepare to end this particular episode, is because we have to stick to our guns. I was wrong to think that I could play a little bit strategic, that I could sacrifice my own values, my own ideology, for the sake of attempting to squeeze out a few extra votes for Kathy McCormick. Kathy Barnett. I was wrong. And that's why I am asking you for forgiveness. I posted a much more thorough article over at jdrucker.substack.com. You can also find it at jdrucker.com, where I cross-post a lot of articles from there. You can also find it at noqreport.com, where I cross-post some of the articles there, as well as freedomfirstnetwork.com, where I cross-post a few. This particular article and this podcast are going to go on all three. Four, sorry. Can't even count. That's how sorry I am, folks. I am so embarrassed by my actions a couple of days ago that I'm actually unable to count to four. Yes, I'm cross-posting it to four different places. The reason being is because we can't move forward thinking that we can reconcile. We have to push forward with an America First mentality. And now a lot of you will ask, what does that mean about President Trump? What are you going to do about him? He backed Dr. Oz. I did write that down, so you'll have to check out the article to find out. It's called There Can Be No Unity with Sean Hannity Republicans. Lord willing, I will be back very soon with another episode. But in the meantime, you all stay strong, stay safe, and God bless.
If you've taken the COVID jabs, or if you could have been exposed to vaccine shedding, Dr. Zev Zelenko has put together a detox solution for you. Shedding is becoming increasingly likely as more people get boosted. So go to zstacklife.com/freedom and make your immune system clean, resilient, and resistant. That's zstacklife.com/freedom. Every conservative show has a MyPillow code, and rightfully so. Mike Lindell is a true America First patriot who continues to fight the good fight. When you use promo code NOQ at MyPillow.com, you're not just helping Mike, you're helping another America First organization, this show. Please use promo code NOQ at MyPillow.com. Our listeners do not want to be beholden to government. With food shortages impacting both prices and availability of food, it's time to take control of your family's long-term future. Go to noqreport.com/MPS and start stocking up immediately. Don't get stuck in breadlines when food becomes scarce. That's noqreport.com/MPS. As the economy and dollar show signs of falling or even collapsing very soon, now is the time to invest your portfolio or retirement in physical precious metals. This show strongly recommends OurGoldGuide.com for your gold and silver needs. Unlike the big players with big ad budgets, Our Gold Guide IRA is focused on you. That's OurGoldGuide.com.